Hey there, and welcome back to The Author's Way, a journey to finding your voice. I'm your host, Jennifer Wright, and this is where we sit down with authors to hear the real stories behind their success. You know, the messy, inspiring, and sometimes crazy journeys that got them to where they are today. I'm excited to be talking today to Andrew Brummer, who is a great example of someone who took a challenge and turned it into an opportunity to reinvent himself. Imagine you're in your 50s, you've never written a book in your life, and then suddenly you find yourself in the middle of an unexpected career change. What do? Well, if you're Andrew, you become a published author twice in less than a year. Andrew is here with me, and his story is fascinating. He's written his first book called You Decide, and has another book called Leading Magnanimously coming out in August. But here's the thing that really caught my attention. Andrew has this leadership style that is effective. When his company had to let people go, those same people were actually begging to come back and work for him again. I mean, when does that ever happen? We're going to talk about what he calls leading magnanimously, some really practical networking tips, and honestly, just how to turn what feels like a setback into something amazing. Whether you're thinking about writing, dealing with career stuff, or just want to be a better leader, you're going to love this conversation. So let's get to it. So excited you're here. I'm excited for your new book. I'm excited for your first book, which really kind of feels like your new book also, because they sort of came out in quick succession. So tell us a little bit about you and sort of like how you got here, how you kind of got to this whole being a published author.
So that's quite the journey, Jennifer. Thank you first for having me here. I appreciate you. So becoming an author was never planned. I'll spare the details, but I had a bit of a life pivot in March of 24. And being a 53-year-old male with no university degree, one has realized that there's quite an ageism thing on the go right now. I'm 45 years and older. And I thought to myself, oh dear, I'm in trouble. So I did a bit of a pivot, and a long story short, I got involved in Fractionals United, the CO forum, Fractionals United, and I met a Fractionals United lady, and she just said to me, Andrew, you need to write. I'm like, I can't write. She's like, Andrew, you have lots of stories. You've done a lot. Well, just write. I'm like, I can't write. I don't have the patience for it. She said to me, Andrew, stop being lazy. Wake up 30 minutes early. And before you do your emails, before you do your WhatsApp and your messaging, just spend 30 minutes and start writing LinkedIn posts. So I thought, okay, I'll take a stab at this. And it wasn't a week and a half later, I'd already created enough content in a framework that was to be the shape of Leading Magnanimously. And I did not know what I was doing. So I ended up rewriting that, restructuring it probably four times. So it was quite the journey. And I got a publisher for that book. And that book officially launches on August the 12th this year. The other book, You Decide, I need to change the title, but it's about supercharging your network, supercharge your networking, starting with LinkedIn. Well, I looked at my lessons that I took, that I experienced, and I codified that into a It was a really quick write. That was a month and a half to write, because it wasn't me putting my thoughts down on paper. It's a very operational, transactional book, start at the beginning, end at the end. So it was very easy to put that together. And because I've been through the arduous journey, and I'm an efficiency hunter. So having written You Magnanimously so many times and restructured it so many times, I'm like, it's got to be a better way to do this. And I managed to do it on You Decide, where I got it right. I got the You Decide correct. I got that working nicely. But Leading Magnanimously was a long journey to get that book written, to put ideas and passion. It's a hard song for me, leading people, finding a way to break from stereotypical norms. And how do you, in this day and age, how do you lead a team effectively? How do you create a bunch of autonomous people that as you're reading the book, we went through a restructure and we had to let a bunch of people go. And through letting people go, after we let them go, they had team members that were crawling and begging to be able to come back and work back inside of the team just because they appreciated and understood what it was. So it's really a heart song of how to lead people.
The leadership topic is a big topic. And you could say right now, but it has been a big topic. The idea of leadership, and then we're adding in culture and environment, and the people side of it is becoming so important in leadership and the soft skills. And so what is it, how were you able to take such a big topic and kind of get it down to something that was sort of unique to you and could speak to your readers?
Sure. So, in creating my teams, I've always felt there's something unique about how I've created teams and how I create bodies of people around me. And I've never really been able to put a finger on it as to why. I had the privilege of working at a company, LifeQ, where the CEO gave me full guidance, full autonomy to create the culture, to help create the team and build it in. What I ended up doing is in building the team, there was became a chasm difference in how my team was being led and how they experienced themselves to being led to the other teams. And I had some of the team members say to me, Andrew, you just don't understand how different it is. You don't understand how different it is in reporting to you and how you're helping coach and lead us in opposition to people that are kind of just telling us, are not or telling us what to do. That was an eye-opener for me, and I started probing to try and get an understanding of what is it, and it's really hard for it was really hard to wrap my hands around. I've always known there's been something different about how I lead teams and how I create energy and how I've got a lot of energy, a lot of passion, a lot of love for people and driving things forward. And I've never been able to codify what that real differentiator was. And then when I had the shakeup, when I had to have a look at the pivot point in March, I kind of looked at a lot of introspection. I'm like, well, what makes a difference? And I started speaking with my team members, and they started throwing things out there that were, well, you're incredibly passionate, you're incredibly loving, you're incredibly caring, incredibly graceful, you're incredibly mindful, you're deliberate about what you're doing. People know me that when I walk into a room, I'm not there just because it's the recurring Monday meeting. I'm there because something needs to be done. If I'm not there, it means everybody's doing what they need to do. And then, it grew from there where I was able to take a lot of small little lessons and just stitch them all together to say, this is what it is. And my goal in writing the book was to put something really transactional in people's hands. So they don't just read the book and put it on the book, back on the bookshelf, but they read the book and the book becomes dog-eared with things that they can do, people that can use. I've got a lot of YouTube TEDx links in the book. I've got a lot of references to people that demonstrate the characteristics or the behavior of what it means to be loving or to allow yourself to be loved by your team, what it means to care and how you behave yourself, how you carry yourself. And there's a lot of life stories in that. So it's not just there's a lot of conceptual theory in it, but it's more practically, there are a lot of stories around the execution and making the theory real. So I think, it was just through the coaching of my team. My team coached me on what it was that stood out, and they did a lot of editing for me in the book, on what was there, and a lot of points out a lot of things that I've not yet touched on.
I noticed this in your first book, You Decide. And like you were saying, it is much more of it's much more process. But you also did this a lot in Leading Magnanimously. You have a lot of tools, a lot of resources, a lot of information that people can really use, and I appreciate that, and I think that's something the reader appreciates too. I think with all of the information that we have out there right now, people want information that they can use. and links and resources and tips. How did you kind of come to decide that was something that you wanted to make sure that you include? There's a lot of different directions you could have gone. And so how did you make that decision to kind of take that direction with the book?
Sure, you just give me goosebumps because it's what my Arjuna website is about as well. I firmly believe that the age of monopolizing information and know-how is done. I think with the advent of AI and the web and everything, and I think now we have the problem that there is too much, right? And what do people focus on? What can I look at? What YouTube channel? What video do I open that's actually going to resonate with me? And what ear do I listen to this at? We've got this constant thrust of information that's coming at us. And what I try to do is I've tried to distill it. I've done the same with the Arjuna Village, my website, where I've tried to distill down the things that I'm a quick study on stuff. So I can get through stuff really quickly. And I'm a quick study on whether something is usable or not usable, or relevant or not relevant, or just noise. And I do it really quickly. I have a gift of being able to cut through things really quickly, very, very fast. So I went through a journey of just keeping track of what I thought was relevant, important, and conveying an impactful message. And in you dis and I started doing this with Leading Magnanimously, where I started looking for, I was looking for people. So outside of me, and me being, obtuse or egotistical and saying, well, I kind of know what it means to love and be and allow myself to love and be loved. But I was like, there have got to be other people in the world. So I started with Wikipedia. So I started looking for other people that have demonstrated love and just ungiving. And then I looked for grace. And then I looked for care. And then I looked for deliberate people that show up with deliberate. And then I took that one step further. I'm like, well, there have got to be YouTube. I have already had a library of YouTube talks. I'm like, they've got to be. I've got to be able to correlate this library of YouTube and then of YouTube channels in. And I stuck with TEDx. So I didn't just go everywhere. So for the most part, I think it's most of the links are TEDx related. I stuck with that to go and look for themology, and I try to make it easy for people that are coming into something that is complex. I mean, dealing with people is probably the most complex we get to do. Going to the, Musk going to Mars is probably easier than dealing with people. At least with technology, you wake up tomorrow and the technology kind of behaves how it did yesterday. With people, it's a brand new day every day. It's a new game. So I try to look for a way to say to people, instead of trying to predict how everything is going to be, show up authentically and give them tools that help them understand who they are, with tips and tricks of things that they should avoid doing that are going to create problems for them, or not create problems, more give discredit to. In other words, if you're behaving beautifully for 3, 4, 5 days and then an old habit steps in, what is that old habit? And can you self-reflect on that old habit stepping in that is either micromanaging, demeaning, belittling, instructing people what to do? Can you spot it yourself? Or can you then forearm your team to say, when I fall back into these traps, point me back, help me come back. And I was looking for more than just my words to help people nudge through that. I did the same with UDecide. Leveraged a lot of know-how and insights from a lot of different areas. And then the same with Arjuna Village. And the goal there again is just to be able to say to people when they're pivoting, here's a place to go to look for information. I don't have it all, but I'm coming at it from the CEO side, the CEO angle, the COO angle, the CTO. I'm coming at it from so many different angles. I'm trying to say, if you're pivoting, volunteering, giving, helping, sourcing, and there are so many ways when we're pivoting that if we keep a level head and we keep ourselves focused on what we're doing, and we don't just scramble after any new URL that comes along our way, that you can get very far. And that was my goal with it in everything I've done thus far since I looked at the pivot. For me, the pivot was hard. I was really hard. I'd been a servant pleaser and I did not look after my brand. I did not. It was a long journey to find who I am, what I do, why I impact people, where I'm impactful, and how do I then carry that message. And everything I've garnered from then till now, I've just repurposed and remade available to people so that they don't have to go through the journey I went through.
You know, what you just mentioned, I don't think that's a unique situation. I talk to lots of people who have to make that pivot. They have to go into job transition. They have to, whether it's they get laid off from a job or they are their job is no longer working for them. I know myself, when I was in corporate, I left my job. This was about 10 years ago, and my network was like 80% with my job. And so I had to really almost kind of start from scratch with building a network. And there are a lot of people who are in that situation. And I think that's one of the things that I enjoyed so much about the book, You Decide, is it is a very practical way and a very useful way of building your network wherever you are in the process, and really, really building those relationships so that they can work for you.
I mean, when I started that journey, so you read in the book, you decide 1200 LinkedIn contacts, and I think six of them were useful to me towards not saying they weren't useful per se, but they were able to impact me moving forward, give me words of advice, do introductions, or do something that could help me and move myself forward. And more embarrassingly, most of those people, like, and I've learned since then, like most of us, most of those people on my LinkedIn, I've not touched for 5, 10, 15 years. I mean, I was one of the early adopters of LinkedIn, and way, way, way back. And there's no relationship with those people, so you're embarrassed, right? You haven't maintained a relationship with these people. You can't go knock on their door and say, "Hey, pretty, please help me." And I did make the mistake of trying to sell on LinkedIn, and then I swiveled and I realized the selling is not working. I need to change my attitude. I need to view LinkedIn as a proper networking tool to go and find and meet people. Meet them where they're at, meet them who they're at, and offer to serve them. And then through that journey, I would find people whose message resonated, whose character and persona and approach resonated, where I would be sticky, remembered, and where they would be sticky and remembered, and we would help one another in whatever way was meant to be, whether and not expecting it to be reciprocal at all. I had the privilege of in working in the company LifeQ, where the CEO has done a fabulous job of keeping the organization afloat and keeping things moving forward. I had the time to be able to go and network, but it was crunch time. I mean, I've been working long hours, long, 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 long hours. And my coaching with the book is start when you're 20. If not 20, start when you're 21. If not 21, start when you're 35. But start somewhere and develop a cadence. And find the people out of the thousands of people you will network with and meet. There are a handful of people there that are really good. They're friends, they're work colleagues, they're people that you can know for a long time and maintain the relationship with them. And if you do that slowly, progressively, the younger you are, the more rich it will become, and the more powerful that network effect will become, the less crunch time you're going to have if you do end up in a soft pivot, soft repivot, the way I did, or whether you are unfortunate, you end up in a hard repivot where you have no choice and the rug gets ripped out from underneath you, then at least you've got the relationships that will allow you to step forward, and you don't have to then try and get out there to try and oversell yourself and try and scramble to try and get something moving. So my coaching to anyone is start developing your relationships, your network as young as you can and maintain them. Those people that can't move on for you today, or you think are not going to make any big relevance to you today, they'll make a big difference for you tomorrow. In time to come, they'll be in positions where they can help you and you can help them. And I keep saying to people, you just never know what you don't know. You just never know what small words people are going to say. They're going to make a fundamental difference to you, who you are and what you do and what you're capable of doing. And your words as well. You just have no idea. Just the short, brief, snap words you can say to someone, and a small introduction or small gift you can give someone, a knowledge, a website, a URL. You just never know what the downstream impact is going to be on that person. And most of us never get to know. I have one guy who introduced me to Fractions United. His name is Josh. He's on the CEO forum. And I embarrass him every time because he really is the guy that got me started on the journey I have been on with. He got me going. And again, that was a 30-second discussion, and you just never know what you don't know.
Yeah, that's a powerful statement. I think we all have to be in a constant state of learning. And one of the things I really appreciate about your writing is how open you are with sharing. You like opened up everything, particularly in You Decide. You're just really kind of, I mean, you put, these are emails that messages that I use. This is the process that I use to do. So, I mean, it's very powerful to, to really be willing to share what's in your head and in your heart with others, because you know that it can really help them.
And to be fair, the advent of AI just doesn't, I mean, you don't win anything by hoarding information today. Today is about,
Right.
I mean, we have got to look after one another. This AI is going to catch up in a hot minute, and we have got to be looking after one another. And if AI would have eventually, someone would have asked AI the right question, and it would have given out the text, example text that I've given. And my goal was just to say, you know what, I really need to take everything I'm learning and just pass it forward, just hand it
Right.
out there, make it available. I'd go so far to the extent that if I could cover just the cost of this You Decide book, I would make it available to anyone and everyone. I mean, this book, I mean, the print cost of it is nothing. It's a self-published on Amazon. But if I could give 1 million copies of that thing away, I'd give it away and just get people to focus, just step away from being full of yourself, step away from selling yourself, and step into networking and meeting people, especially after COVID and remote work and hybrid work and everything. We've kind of forgotten what it means to kind of walk up and give someone a hug or shake their hand and a
Oh
perfect
no.
stranger. I mean, we've completely lost touch with it.
Right. Well, and I think that is one of the things that's very powerful about being able to use your words and being able to write and share, is you can create those connections.
Yeah, and it doesn't take a lot. I just show up and be purposeful, be present, be deliberate, and be human. I there's simple words I tell people. Walk up to someone and you shake their hand and say, "Hi, my name is Andrew. I don't know that we've met before." Or, "Hey, my name's Andrew. What are you doing at the conference?" Or, on LinkedIn, "Hey, I love the startup community, or I love the cooking community or the music community. Thank you for connecting and striking a discussion there and paying it forward, giving information out and developing the relationship, and then taking the time to actually go meet people. Go to networking events. Go to, if not networking events, go to coffees. And I'm not saying with everyone, all right, time is precious, so you've got to be careful where you do it and be smart about where you do it. But people remember and work with people they know and like, right? And if you're just a job title, I tell people, when you introduce yourself, leave your job title at the door. Don't mention your job title. Talk about how you impact people's lives. And then round it up to saying, well, I do it with the title of COO, chief of staff, or executive coach, or COO peer advisor. But you don't walk in there and say, I'm a COO. As soon as you do that, you've pigeonholed yourself, and the discussion basically is over.
Yeah, that's great advice. So I'm curious. I'm always curious about how people create. You mentioned that the You Decide book, and so if we the timeline. I know I kind of alluded to this earlier. You Decide was launched when? January?
Yeah, You Decide was launched in January. I wrote it in October and November, no, November and December, with the goal of self-publishing in January.
Okay. All right. So you spent a couple of months, you published it in January. Leading Magnanimously is going to be launching in, you said August?
August 12th, correct. Yep.
Yeah. So that's pretty incredible for you to, be able to write and publish a book in a couple of months. I mean, most people it takes years
Yeah.
to publish their first book. So
To
that's
be
pretty incredible.
yeah, to be fair, the You Decide for me was easy, because the You Decide, I was teaching people what I was doing before the book existed. And the only reason the book came to exist is because I had people that I was teaching about how I was doing and how I was networking and meeting people. I had people say to me, Andrew, what, instead of doing all of these free training sessions and Zooms and Google Meets and everything that you're doing, why don't you just write a book? And you're doing it, you're giving your knowledge away, you're giving insights away. Why don't you just write a book? Then I had a few people say that. I'm like, please, man, there's nothing behind this. And then to be fair, I got the number of demos and trainings got excessive. So I'm like, okay, maybe I need to do a book. So what I took was I already had a deck, I had a message, I knew already knew the method of conveying it. So getting it down onto paper was really easy. I spent maybe an hour, 2 hours writing the table of contents, and then I carried my phone with me, and wherever I went, I looked at the thing, and I'd already spoken about it so many times, and I just recorded myself. I just recorded what I was going to say. I put that through a text translation and then converted that text into this book. And it was really, really, really simple because I knew the topic. I wasn't digging for it. I knew I had something that was working. So putting this book together was quite easy.
Nice. So how long has the process been though for leaning magnanimously?
Oh, that was tragic. That's embarrassing. Compared to this book, Leading Magnanimously, I started in March, and it took me March, and it took me
March of
24, March of 20.
24, okay.
I started in March of 24, and I got the book off to the publishers. I'm guessing now, I'm trying to remember. It was about October. September I signed, and October I got the book off to them. So it was a long journey. And the frustrating part is just the hours and hours of rewriting and the sleepless nights of you write a chapter and you get down, you're creating a story, and when you read, you decide, you see there's a story through it. And you in Leading Magnanimously, there's a story to how I've tried to structure the thing. Now, when you've written your second or third book, you kind of know that you've got to put that. But book one, I didn't have it, so I restructured, and not only just the contents, but the actual. Like, there's a section called "To Be," and the inside of Leading Magnanimously, and it's about you need to decide to be. So, to be loving or not, to be deliberate or not, to be caring or not, and then. Inside of that, each one of the sections, I rewrote those and included content and excluded, took content out so many times. It was a good learning. Let me just say, it was a great learning lesson for you to decide, but an embarrassingly long amount, just a lot of, I guess it was good learnings, good experiences. It just took a long time.
And honestly, this is one of the things I run into a lot when I talk with people. I don't think there's any hard and fast rule about how long it takes to write a book. I think it's all about, your goals and how and what you're trying to do. I've had people say that, this book was been in the works for 10 years. So I think you did a great job. I think I, you know, yeah, you know, I don't think you have to be quite as hard on yourself about
Appreciate
that.
that. I think the piece that it eats me is or frustrates me is because I'm an efficiency driver. I'm always looking for the fastest, smartest, smoothest, easiest way to get stuff done. So I'm okay with the time calendar. What frustrated me was the amount of times I cycled through. Because I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know the storyline. I didn't know how I needed to. I didn't know if I just knew, just take a breath, do a table of contents, figure that out, flesh that out a little bit, put some bullets inside of that. That's easy. I mean, the coaching you've also given me on kind of how to structure things has also helped. Put your contents together, put the structure together, put your bullets in there, put your highlights of the thoughts that you want to put in there, and have that ordered before you actually start detailed writing. And as you detail write, then forward modify. Don't be stuck with the structure you just put, forward modify. But that at least puts the frame of it together. And that's why you decide was. Got done so quickly, but my frustration there was just it's clock hours, just rework, and I needed.
I also believe that writing is it's creative work, and creative work just operates a little bit differently. We have to give ourselves a little bit of grace because our brains are crazy instruments sometimes, and we think we've got everything all figured out, and then all of a sudden this new thing pops up, and now we're off in a different direction. So, yeah.
You are right, and I appreciate the call out. I really do. And I mean, you're absolutely right.
I have a question. One of the things that I noticed in both books is the imagery that you use. You have some consistency across the books, and then also that sort of flows through on your website. And so, what made you decide to kind of use that common imagery? And it feels like maybe there's some branding, some commonality that you're maybe going for.
Yeah, very fortunate. So in LifeCue, I had a young lady working for me, very brandy, very artsy. She's fantastic at what she does. And her coaching to me was, Andrew, you can create a standalone piece of work, or you can create, as you go through this journey, you can create something that, because everything is themed together, it's all in the same domain space, you can create a theme around it so that everything looks and feels like it belongs to itself. So instead of trying to explain to people that the website and the coaching and the URLs and the volunteer work and everything belongs with the UDecide, just start right out of the gate and get that going. So I had some really beautiful words there. And if I'm anything, I'm a good listener for what just makes logical sense. And everything she told me was fantastic. So I hope she hears this. She doesn't like me referencing her name. So I appreciate and love her to bits. But she sat me down and said, Andrew, create a brand, create a series, create a collection, and mix that between the website and the books, and everything you do. So I'm doing that. And when you're doing the small pieces, it kind of looks abstract. It doesn't kind of look all there. But when you've actually got all the pieces now starting to come together, it actually looks pretty cool. It actually looks the it looks like it's glued together really, really, as well as
Yes.
it is glued together. It looks lovely.
I agree. I think it's very it shows a certain level of consistency, and it then becomes recognizable, which I love the way you even took that image and then used it throughout the chapters. In the chapter headings and that. So I think it's beautiful. I love the colors. I love, I love the simplicity of the image as well. So I think it's great, and I think it's a great idea, and it's something I would probably maybe even consider recommending to others, particular for those. I will have some that will say, I want to write this one book, but I think I've got three or four books in there somewhere. And so I think that's a great idea
And
for
that
that.
was the key, is there are another three books I want to write. So they all belong together. So
Right.
they're each their own theme, but together they create a big picture story, all focused at how do you, as a executive or CEO of a company, of a startup, how do you get this together? Where do you find your information? How do you build this? What is it you're building, and how do you stitch it together? How do you make sure you're trying to cover all the bases with this wealth of information that's out there? How do you pull this together? Leadership, investment funding, startup, running your company, creating it, leading your team, establishing your team, getting your brand. And so those are the things out there that I will pull together in a larger set.
Yeah, I love that. And then it just becomes, when you, I don't know that we necessarily envision our books anymore on bookshelves like we used to. It used to be if you were thinking about publishing a book, you would imagine it on the on the shelf in the Barnes and Noble, or I don't know, and maybe you do. I think a lot of people, that image has kind of changed over the years just because of, the way the market is now. But it makes it easy to kind of imagine them sitting on the shelf side by side. And I think of some other authors that have done some similar things, and it's very recognizable and very consistent,
It's
and I
important
like
when you
that.
go from book to book, even when you're on your Kindle or on the website, it's important that when you go from book to book to book, it's about how big brands have really made themselves present. So it doesn't matter where you are, you have the knowledge that you are with that brand. And that's the coaching that she gave me, is create a brand that allows people to know, no matter where they are in the journey of your brand, they are within the brand.
Yes, I love it. I love it. So tell me a little bit about, I'm curious, your first book was self-published. Your second book, I believe you said you had a publisher.
Correct.
So tell me a little bit about that process. Is because people are very, I get a lot of questions about should I self-publish? Should I find a publisher? Then there's this hybrid model that's out there as well. How was that experience for you, having gone through sort of both of the processes? Do you have a recommendation? Do you, is there,
So I've yet to see the volume difference between the going through the publisher versus self-publishing. The reason I self-published is I wanted to get You Decide out. I didn't believe it was a book that needed to wait. I believe that with the economy and where people were at and all the people I'd met, it was something that I felt needed to get into hands like immediately. So I did not want to go through the publishing life cycle of that 8, 9 month, getting your schedule, getting your slot, and then having your book out there. For me, that was a terrible waste of time, not for my time, but for the people that should be reading a book and using these things. 9 months in building network is an awful long time. And I wanted to get this thing out really quickly. Time will tell in terms of volumes as to whether self-publishing or going through a publisher was better. I will say going through a publisher, they helped me with a lot of crossing the T's and dotting the I's of things that I think of, which helped me get my the self-publishing done. It made it easier. I've been through three iterations of You Decide, where I've taken learnings from what they did in Leading Magnanimously, and I've echoed them into the book to make sure that the books look and feel the same. The one thing I now need to do is I've got to make You Decide the same physical size as Leading Magnanimously, because I want them being of the same ilk. I honestly couldn't tell. It's been a great experience going through both journeys. I feel like I've been more chaotically in control of my own release through self-publishing, and I've been more constrained's not the right word. I've been more process bound by going through a publisher. So it's been, as someone who I'm very impatient, I just want to get things done. It's been trying for me to follow the process, and a tried and test the process that they have. It's been trying for me just to behave myself and, not be an idiot and not say stupid, unnecessary things, and just kind of wait and let the engine work itself through. But I would, I think I've learned so much by going through a publisher that helped the self-publish so much easier. But the thing that was missing is the marketing, right? They got it, the branding, because it doesn't help you have the book out there, but you don't have a word out there. So that's why I found I'm leveraging a publisher and a go-to-market is critical, which is why I've got to get all of that messaging up and running for Leading Magnanimously, because You Decide is launched. There's a slow, steady stream, but it's not at the volumes that it needs to be, or could be, or should be, for people that could benefit from what I've written here. Because it's such a pragmatic, silly, simple way to help people just open your eyes and start doing stuff. Start at step one and just go. But Leading Magnanimously, I really want to turn that into, I hope that that turns into something significant, and creates a lot of opportunities around me.
I can see that, and I can appreciate the differences between the two. I do. One of the beauties of self-publishing is that you do have a little bit more control. And then you were mentioning that you could go back and make, make changes to it. I do like that about self-publishing, but there are certainly some benefits to finding a publisher. And just what you were saying, just having kind of that expert to help with all the pieces and parts is helpful as well. So are you, tell me a little bit about kind of, so you said you have three more books in you. Are those coming soon? Or
No,
yeah.
so the world has got a little bit chaotic for me. So,
Yeah.
I've got a lot of things in the go right now. I'm busy creating a Vistage group right now for me, and that is a CEO peer advisory group. So I'm busy building that. I'm keeping the lights on and working with the team at LifeQ and helping make sure that we survive and get through it. And then I do a lot of pro bono volunteer stuff, where I'm linked in with SCORE and with Tie Atlanta in terms of looking after startups and helping coach them to getting things out there and helping
Oh,
them be
that's.
successful, helping them create their businesses. So I'm probably gonna I'll probably prob it'll probably be 3 or 4 months before I get back to it, get back to writing.
Okay. So you've got a few things
Yeah,
in
just a
the
few.
hopper right now.
Yeah, there's a lot on the go. As you pivot, I just didn't know which area was going to. I didn't know whether the books would take off. I didn't know whether the pivots and the fractional work would take off. So in pivoting, I put a lot of, and I'm lucky I have a lot of energy. So having so many stokes in the fire, I've been okay with it. I've managed through it. But I'm at the point now where I'm running tight on time. So, time
Yeah.
is a precious commodity now. So I'm using it sparingly and wisely.
Okay. All right. I always like to ask people, if you had an opportunity to give your 25-year-old self, advice, what advice would you give yourself?
Oh, my word, that's a loaded question. Network, network, network. Just take ownership of your brand, network, net, no matter what you do, whether you're going to be a developer, a chef, a cook, a mechanic, a construction, a project manager, a plumber, network, network, network. We've reached an age today, and I don't think any of us thought we'd get to where we're at today, where this AI thing is so pervasive and it's going to become so big that the people that you have around you are going to be pivotal to our individual survival and commercial contribution in the near future. So I think I would say network, 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 and don't take anyone you meet for granted. Maintain relationships as deep, as far, as wide as you can. Be deliberate about it, and help anyone wherever they can, wherever you can, help them nudge them forward, help them with knowledge, help them with insights, help them with recommendations, hold their hand, be a shoulder. And the wheel will turn. It'll turn when you need it. The wheel will turn and be there to help you when you need it. But yeah,
Yeah.
network, network.
Yeah. That's great advice. That's great advice. I'm
And that's why
also,
I'd love to get this in everybody's head. I just really would
yes.
just network, network, network.
Yes. I'm also very curious, particularly when I'm talking to authors, what do you read? Who are some of your favorite authors or maybe a favorite book?
So I have a card, thank you card that I have, and on the back of the thank you card, I have all of the books that I
Oh,
read.
yeah.
And in my book, I also have a bookmark with all the books. So I mean, I rotate between non-fictional, fictional, between leadership, self-development, personal growth, etc. So Blink, Lean In, Multiply is a great book. Dare to Lead is a fantastic book. Start with Why. It's probably the first.
It's one of my favorites.
On all of the coaching I do, I tell people start with why. Read the
Yeah.
book. Read the book, and then straight off to start with why. No excuses, because a lot of people will excuse themselves out of why things are the way they are. Leaders eat last. Change anything. Everybody matters. Good leaders ask great questions. Mindset influencer, and change anything. The combination of those two go together really, really well. Atomic Habits is obviously a gold mine. Crucial conversations. 10x is easier than 2x. Who, not how. And I'm a pervasive reader. My Audible library is probably about 1300 or 1400 books. I'm a pervasive listener. They say leaders read. Leaders read. And what's so beautiful about where we're at today is with the pervasiveness of insights and learnings and digital and audio and being able to listen while you're in the airports and traveling and that, you can just absorb information in the most innocuous of times where you can just be learning and absorbing. And I encourage everyone read. In the book, I'm going to be rude and step away. In the book, this goes out with anyone that orders a book from my website, from the Arjunan website. My goal is to tell people just keep reading, just keep reading. Don't stop reading. Just keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. Just grow yourself. And read books often, because what is applicable to you today may not be applicable in 2 years' time or in 6 months' time. And what you skip over today may be life altering for you in 6 months' time. It's just you weren't in the right frame of mind, the right position in life for that message that you were reading for it to resonate. You know, Brené Brown, Simon Sinek, Peter Drucker, just there are some fantastic authors out there that have written some amazing stuff that has helped me model my world on. And I just read and reread and reread the books over and over and over again.
Yes, I love that. And yeah, it's always so interesting the new nuggets that you find every
Yeah.
time you
Just when you
reread,
think you got it,
right?
these books have a way of humbling you down into a place of, oh
Yeah.
man, really?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Love
So if someone wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Ah, so I'll send you the links in that, but the easiest way is my website, andrewbrummer.com, and it will forward you into the Ardunan website, where everything is in there. All my books, the references, recommended readings, and all my contact details, but you can reach me at andrewbrummer.com.
Okay, awesome. And all of those for the listener, all of those links, the links to his books, so you can purchase them, the links to his website. Would you also like to include your LinkedIn link in that?
Yes, Andrew. LinkedIn is Andrew Brummer. No spaces, no dots, no hyphens, just straight Andrew Brummer, one word.
Okay, awesome. We'll include all of those in the show notes. And so thank you, Andrew. This has been a fantastic conversation. I
Thank
really
you.
appreciate you spending some time and sharing some insights. And I'm really excited about, having your two books out there, and I'm looking forward to the launch in
Yeah.
August.
A lot of work to do. A lot of work to do.
Oh yeah. It is a lot of work, but it's totally worth it.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, and to the listeners, thank you for listening, and have a great day.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thanks.